This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Business Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Emily Mishra, the founder, CEO, leader of the Cultivated Group. Emily's going to talk today about what are three things leaders should be doing right now. Emily, let me ask you to take it away, and I'll ask you at the end to give people information on where they can find you and how they can reach you and all those kinds of things. But jump right into what are three things a leader should be doing today?
Sure thing. And Scott, thank you so much for having me. A big focus with us right now is really looking at where we are at. We're in the last month of Q1 of 2021. It's been a healthy year so far in so many ways. So we're really keeping a pulse and gut check on where we currently are in relation to where we want to be. So that's making sure that we're holding ourselves accountable to really looking at, okay, how do our daily and weekly actions add up and align with where we want to be going? So that's the first thing we're focusing on. Another thing is looking at how far we've come. How are we tracking? All of what we do really is building blocks to compound the good things that we're building, doing, the advancement that we're making in the world, really through our client work and also through our personal and professional development internally as a team and just as people. We believe in compound, and we believe in the compound effect. So really making sure that our actions are aligning and have aligned over the past 2 months of this quarter to, again, get where we're going. And third is looking forward to the future. So once we have a pulse check on where we currently are, where we want to be in relation to where we thought we would be, really looking forward to make sure we're still headed in the right direction and also being able to adjust course accordingly to where we want to go in relation to where we are. So again, it's kind of near now and far, looking at the progress that we've made and how that's aligning to where we want to be in relation to where we currently are. That's what I would advise. And really too, making sure that we're getting what we need as people and as humans. It's been a year of turbulence, and a lot of really incredible things are happening, but making sure that we're looking after ourselves physically, spiritually, mentally, making sure that our needs are met is a really important piece of that leadership puzzle that I think oftentimes we overlook.
And take a moment. Let me ask you to, again, summarize those three things that leadership should be doing right now, and I'd like to ask you a couple of follow-up questions.
Sure. So, quick summary is look at what you've done, especially over the past 2 months, make sure it aligns with where you want to go, and then continue moving forward. Make sure that you adjust course, adjust those sales as needed, because it's those incremental changes and that compound interest that really makes a difference over time that we can really lean into and adjust every day. So it's a beautiful opportunity right now, especially with the beginning of a new month, as we're wrapping up quarter, to really look at how far we've come and make sure that we're still headed in that direction that we want to be going.
Emily, I had asked you to sort of summarize your core points and what a leader should be doing. And as I sort of heard it, it was look at what you've done over the last couple of months, what you've done, your organization has done, check to see if you're on the course you want to be. And then it's looking at incremental changes going forward, and that incremental changes, unless you have to do a major pivot or a major change, because incremental changes, incremental efforts often compound themselves if you're doing constantly and regularly and trying to grow with those. But it's sort of taking stock of where you're at, what adjustments you have to make, and where do you want to be going forward. And let me know if I summarize that well or not so well, or what I missed there.
Yeah, no, I think you did a great job. And as my friend Ken Jocelyn tends to say, it's all about incremental, not monumental. It's those incremental changes that really add up over time. And when you get them stacking upon each other, that's when huge transformation happens, but it doesn't necessarily need to always be a huge leap of faith. Oftentimes, it can be small little turns of the dial and small little tweaks that really add up to make a big difference.
And let me ask you this question. When people fail to make changes, when they fail, like somebody says, I want to lose 30 pounds or I want to hit this goal, what do you typically see are the reasons why people fail in making the changes they want to make?
There are a multitude of different reasons. And what I found is that they're often rooted in belief systems that no longer serve. So what I mean by that is maybe you want to lose 30 pounds, but maybe your actions don't align on a day-to-day basis. Maybe they don't align with the direction that you want to go, which in this case is losing 30 pounds. So it's really about reworking and reframing what the beliefs are as to what you believe is possible for you. Because, if I were to say I want to lose 30 pounds, that would require me to do a lot of things in my life differently. And it's not because I'm already unfit. It's just because that's not necessarily something that I believe is necessary for me to do in order to live a fulfilling, full, and purposeful life. So I think really looking and assessing what, looking at and assessing what is driving the goals that you have, what's under, if you go a few layers deeper, what's really the root of the intention that you're setting and the goals that you're setting yourself up to create. And if you can get really clear on what's a few layers deep, what's really driving, that will fuel you in a totally different way than a more surface level desire or surface level goal will. Like if, I was going to think of an example, but I'm not sure that's necessary. But let me know if you want me to elaborate.
I think you fit it well. I mean, what really is the concept is, I mean, along the lines of, are you really deeply committed to whatever change you're trying to make is one. Is it just a surface idea on those 30 pounds? Really thought deeply about how you want to do it, what you want to do, why you want to do it. Now, I would look at, are you setting a realistic goal to start with where you can build confidence, or are you setting something that's so hard to do that it'll be hard to stay focused on, but different ways of approaching that. What do you do about bosses that do this? You know, somebody meets their target early, and the boss says to the person, oh, good, let's reset your target. You know, is there some balance there that the boss should have when they have a super performer to say, that's fantastic, not immediately ratchet up the next target? How do you deal with bosses and people and leaders like that?
You know, I think leadership from our perspective is all about empowering people to be the best that they can be. And if that's the case and you have somebody who's continuing to exceed the goals they've set, especially in real time or much faster than they had initially expected to, let them sprint. I mean, what I found within our team is that it's my role as the leader and it's my role as the executive to get the right people on board and get out of the way. Because if you have the right people on board, they will soar if you allow them to, but it's all about you not clipping their wings. And oftentimes that requires a lot of confidence and self-awareness from the leader's perspective, but also just a lot of trust. And that comes over time, and that comes over different, I guess, experiences that you'll have amongst the team. But sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Not at all. But the question really is, let them sprint versus push them to sprint. Where's that balance in a leader's position?
I think for me, it's all about empowering them to have the confidence in their own ability to sprint and to use their legs and to strengthen their muscles in ways that are going to serve the ultimate outcome. I mean, if you're thinking or talking about running, if you're sprinting 100 meters, it's a very different training, and it's a very different kind of training than you'd have if you were running a mile or a 1600 meter race. You need to be cultivated based on the end goal that you want to achieve, whether it's a gold medal at the Olympics or NHSAA finals. You know, you're going to be training in very different ways, which require the rigor and which require comprehensive. Let's go running, for an example. Again, if you're training for the Olympics or Olympic trials versus NHSAA finals, the training might look the same from an outsider's perspective, but the nutritional makeup, the coaches that you'll have, the mental strength that you'll need, they're very different based on the kind of race that you're running and the kind of community and peers that you're surrounding yourself with, based on the level of competition, quote unquote, that you'll be having at whatever respective race you're running. Since that's the case, you want to make sure you know which race you're running. So you want to make sure that you're equipping the team that you have and the runners that you have, quote unquote. You want to make sure that you're equipping them to have the right folks around them and also to be training in ways that are going to ultimately serve that end goal. So what I mean to say is you're not going to train a 100 meter race in the same way that you're going to a running race in the same way that you're going to train for a lacrosse match. You know, you're not going to train a football team the same way that you're an American football team, the same way that you're going to train a soccer team, because the end goals and the games are very different. So in business, in my mind, those are very similar because you want to make sure that you know which race you're running or which game you're playing, but you also want to make sure that you're cultivating the muscles and cultivating the mental, emotional, physical strength in your team to be able to play that game to the best of their abilities. And that requires forward movement and buy-in on your team's end, but it also from a coaching and from an executive quote unquote perspective, that also requires you to be very, very clear on the direction that you're headed, the game that you're playing, and the people who are on your team. So I say all of that because it's a very high level and ground level perspective at the same time that from a leadership perspective, I think it takes a really different kind of person to be able to do that. But that's, in my mind, an example of a way that you could really get out of the way for your team and make sure that you have that forward moving perspective as you are in your business, or quote unquote, if you want to go sports, which I'm not a huge sports person, but I do understand training. if you want to go that direction, I think it's a really great way that you could really empower your people to do their best in every single race, if you will.
No, absolutely. And it's this fine line always between letting people push themselves and finding the, getting the barriers out of the way and letting them sprint to their best ability versus pushing them to sprint or you know, it's a challenge to push forward for how you push and develop people versus letting them push develop themselves and hitting that right balance. Emily, I want to thank you as always for joining us. How do people learn more about Emily Mishler and the Cultivated Group?
Sure, and Scott, thank you so much again for having me and having us as a guest. It's always a pleasure to chat through leadership and business with you. If you'd like to learn more about the Cultivated Group, please feel free to visit us on social at the Cultivated Group on all the major platforms, as well as on our website, just at thecultivatedgroup.co. If you want to learn more about anything that we're up to, those are the best ways to stay informed and stay apprised. Our team would love to hear more about the questions you have, about the exciting projects that you're working on, and really lean into making the world better one business at a time. So thank you again so much, Scott. It's truly been a pleasure.